Good morning. Today's daf in Gittin is Pei Tes 89. Considering that there are 90 blot here in the Masechta, this means that this is the penultimate, the second to last daf of the Masechta. We are starting today at the Mishnah on the bottom of Pei Chesem and Beis. We touched on the sugya earlier in the Masechta, but here we go. And we are going to be contending with rumors. As I mentioned earlier, you probably heard me say this before, but I certainly don't mind saying it again. The Gemaras that deal with rumors is difficult Gemaras. We are looking to track a rumor. We're going to be giving weight and validity to a rumor. And at the very same time, however, so who should be gossiping? Nobody. Nobody should be gossiping. We're going to be giving a description later this morning regarding women who are sitting around by the moonlight and with their needlework. And what are they doing? They are gossiping. And so it's a funny picture, meaning that's the kind of picture where it's not normally condoned. That behavior is not encouraged behavior. And meanwhile, there is also a reality. The reality is that that's what happens when people talk. And so are these rumors have any validity to whatsoever? Without a Gemara, without a Mishnah Gemara, without today's daf, I would have said ignorantly that they have no validity whatsoever. In other words, okay, people are talking. That's wonderful. Let's all move on with our lives. And meanwhile, Halacha does take into consideration the rumors that are swirling and allegations that are circulating. Okay, so as I mentioned before, I'll just say it again on the front end. These are, in fact, difficult Gemaras. They're difficult not to understand, but they're just difficult to gauge. In other words, when does a rumor become significant, when does it not? The Gemara is going to be giving a shape and form to when exactly rumors are to be regarded. And certainly from the Gemara standpoint, the Gemara is going to try to give a legal definition of what is a rumor and when is a rumor valid and so forth and so on. Meaning the Gemara is going to do what it normally does. It gives legal definition. And so over here, that's what we're going to try to do today. But I admit that, in other words, it's a funny discussion. When someone quizzes you about today's daf, what do we talk about today? Rumors. Okay, and meanwhile, in halacha, rumors can occasionally be significant. Okay, it is a strange discussion. It's found tucked away over here at the end of the Masechta. And let's get underway. There was a cross reference. Absolutely. Cross reference to an earlier Gemara. This is it. Meaning today's daf is really the main source of this discussion. It starts with a Mishnah. The Mishnah starts off, Yatzah Shema Be'ir Mekudeshes. So there was a single woman in town, and now people are saying that she's Mekudeshes. She received Kedushin. She accepted Kedushin, obviously willingly. And now, what are we looking at over here? No longer is she a single lady, but she is a married woman. So, Harezim Mekudeshes. So, at that point in time, we have to assume that she now is Mekudeshes, Harezim Mekudeshes. So, and if you look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes, Velo Tinase La'acher, Velo Get. And now, because of these rumors, so now let's say she wants to marry somebody else. Now, if she wants to marry the man that she's alleged to marry, well, perfect. Meaning the rumors are she's married to that man, and now she wants to go through with the second stage of marriage, fine. And if the rumors happen not to be true, she'll just simply accept Kedushin from that man. But in other words, that's not the significance of what we're saying in the Mishnah. What we're looking to point out over here, explains Rashi, is that now because of this rumor that she accepted Kedushin from this man, and now she wants to marry another man, she has to receive a get from that man that she was alleged to have accepted Kedushin with. Then and only then can she go ahead and marry somebody else. And mind you, by the way, obviously this is going to affect her in terms of her ability to marry a Kohen, or better stated, she won't be able to marry a Kohen at this point, from this point going forward. But anyway, so that is one. Two, says the Mishnah.
Even if she denies
that she's... We're getting there. In other words, everything's going to be spoken out in terms of, in other words, what's her response, what more is there to the rumor? Again, all this is going to, we're just at the beginning. So the Harezim Mekudeshes, Megurashes, Harezim Megurashes. And let's say a woman now is alleged to have undergone Gerushin, right? So in other words, a married woman, and people say, she received Gerushin. Or in other words, where's the get? No, we're not talking about where there's physical evidence. What we're discussing over here in this Mishnah are rumors. Rumors are swirling about this woman, this married woman, that she accepted a get from her husband. So now the Mishnah says, Harezim Megurashes, now she's a divorced woman. Now, the Gemara itself is going to be the Gemara is going to be shocked by that second statement of the Mishnah. So let's hold off until we get to the Gemara, so we can appreciate the shock that the Gemara has to that second statement of the Mishnah. We're coming back to that. Now the Mishnah goes on. Now, if let's say together with the rumor, you also have what's called an amasla. An amasla comes up numerous times throughout Shas. The amasla is basically a excuse explanation. In other words, there are rumors, but at the same time, however, we understand the genesis of the rumors. Or, let's say it a little bit better. In other words, we now understand that the rumors are grounded, but at the same time also explainable. If we have that, so then what we could do is then, on one hand, we can accept the rumor. On the other hand, we could just simply dismiss it. Let's give an example. So all this makes a little bit more sense. So the Mishnah gives an example. Tonight. So let's say, for example, that a man divorced his wife, but he did so all tonight, conditionally. So now, in a post-rumor interview, we go over to her and say, you know, rumors, everyone in town says that you got a divorce. What's your response? The response is as follows. Yeah, I got a divorce, but it was out tonight. In other words, it was based on a condition. The condition wasn't satisfied. Ah, now everything's clear. Meaning now I understand why the rumors are that she got a divorce, because she did. But at the same time, also, there's an explanation. In other words, and the explanation is the amasla is that it was out tonight and the tonight wasn't satisfied. Ah, now everything makes sense. And obviously, if the tonight wasn't satisfied, she's not a divorced woman. But now I understand where the rumors came from. Or similarly, Kiddushin, Safik Harav La, Safik Harav La, Safik Harav La, Zui Amasla. Or let's say the woman being interviewed about her Kiddushin. You know, people are saying, right, it's in the world that we live in, by the way, it's so easy for us to imagine. Because, you know, this is our, unfortunately, this is what goes for news these days. Right, here's what we heard. So we heard that you're Mekudeshah. So she explains, yeah, that's true. In other words, there was Kiddushin, but it was thrown to me, and it was not sure whether it was proximate to me or to him, and so therefore Amasla, there's an explanation. Later this morning, we're going to go over this explanation. Can it materialize at a later point in time? Does this explanation have to come at the same time that the rumor is also circulating? That's something that we're going to be discussing later this morning. Okay, so what we have over here in our Mishnah, it's a really difficult Mishnah, as I already introduced, and that is that the world of rumors. The world of rumors is that once you have rumors circulating regarding a person, an individual, so those rumors have weight, and therefore they're going to have consequences unless the rumors can be explained. That's effectively what we learned in our Mishnah, and immediately the Gemara pounces on the second statement of the Mishnah. Because in the second statement of the Mishnah, you have what is a married woman. Right, I'll even give a little bit of narration. You have a happily married woman, and now all of a sudden rumors are swirling that she received gerushin from her husband. And the Mishnah says, oh, the rumors have weight, and now she's a divorced woman. What? In other words, she's a married woman. And the Gemara says, Vasrinale Agavra. And really, because of rumors, we're now attacking a married woman, and because people are now saying that she's divorced. So now she's going to become prohibited to her husband. Vahamar Avashi Kokala de Basinisuin, Lo Cheshinale. The rule of Rav Ashi, which we saw earlier in this perek, and now we get to review again. This is it, meaning today's daf is really the source daf on this topic. And Rav Ashi says is that we do not accept any rumors post-marriage. In other words, once a woman is in a marriage, and then post-marriage rumors are circulating, we dismiss all those rumors. Because, in other words, this you can explain very simply. It's very easy to understand. In other words, now we're talking about a married woman. And not only is it consequential to her, but it's a consequential to her husband as well. And what are you going to do? You're going to break up a marriage. And we don't have evidence, meaning this is not edus. These are rumors, obviously much less than edus. And you're going to break up a marriage on account of that, as a result of that. And so the Gemara says, so if you read our Mishnah, it's unfathomable. How can it be that I have a married woman and then rumors circulating, right, at post-marriage that, oh, wait a second, I heard that she's divorced, that her husband divorced her. And now we're going to go into that marriage and we're going to break up the marriage based on those rumors. Rav Ashi would say nothing doing. Rav Ashi would tell us that can't be. And so, but meanwhile, Rav Ashi can't be going against the Mishnah. So hachi kamar. So what it's going to force us to do, meaning the Gemara is absolutely convinced that Rav Ashi is correct. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the Mishnah. We're going to reinterpret the Mishnah. Hachi kamara. So now pshat in the Mishnah will go like this: Yatsa shma biir mikudeshes. I raise the mikudeshes and umigureshes. Ah, so now what we're going to say is as follows. In other words, what the Mishnah is telling us is is that I have a rumor and then I have a compound rumor. The first rumor that we're describing is a woman's accepted Kiddushin. Fine. Again, going back to our Mishnah, that rumor now has consequences. She now is a woman who is Mekudesha. So she wants to marry somebody else. She's going to need a get from her husband. Now, in the second case of the Mishnah, it is a compound rumor. What do I mean? Meaning that the rumors are that she accepted Kiddushin and she also accepted Gerushin from that same person. So Harizem Megureshes, my Tama Kosh B'Shover Imo. So now what I could do is I could take those two rumors and I can put them together. In other words, we have now a story to tell. Okay, whatever. it does make a complete story. Meaning this woman accepted Kiddushin and now she also accepted Gerushin as well. She now wants to accept Kiddushin from somebody else, that'd be fine. Mind you, of course, by the way, the Gemara doesn't say this, but it seems to be a pretty obvious point. She wouldn't be able to accept Kiddushin from a Kohen. Meaning, as long as now we're accepting these two rumors together, Kiddushin and Gerushin, so now she's a married and divorced woman, which means, of course, that she can't marry a Kohen. But the larger point that the Gemara is making is that I could take these two rumors, I can put them together, I can make a complete story, and she can accept Kiddushin from another man without having to, without telling her that she needs a get from her quote-unquote first husband. Her alleged first husband. No, right. In other words, right. Such a good point, and that is that really we're going to be focusing today primarily on Isser, meaning the mamonous aspect of all this. It's a great question, and the Gemara is not going to be touching much on the mamonous issue, right? We're going to be really focusing more on the Isser issue. It really is a good point.
So these rumors are nothing about Mochi Shemra.
Again, it goes back to the way I introduced the Mishnah, meaning that generally speaking, right, if somebody asked me, should you be promoting the rumors, I would say, no, of course not. Of course not. But meanwhile, at the same time, in other words, we have to hold two thoughts at the same time. Nobody should be speaking these rumors, right? If I were spreading these rumors, so what I would tell myself is that that's wrong. It's apparently wrong. And good. But at the same time, however, the rumors do have weight and consequences. Okay, there are two distinct thoughts that we're going to have to hold on to the same time. Amar Rav Yasser Lashem Mizane Beir Ein Choshen La Maitama Pritzus Ba'Amo Hu Dechazula. Okay, so now in this difficult sugya, I admit already on the front end of today's daf, it's a difficult sugya. So in the difficult sugya, so which rumors have consequences, which rumors can just simply be dismissed? So here we go, a list of rumors that can simply be dismissed. Well, we'll get to the list in just a moment. But right now, we'll start with the statement of Rava. We're on Pei Testament Aleph, and we're right at the top of the second line down. So let's say, Yatala Shem Mizana Be'ir. So let's say a woman is acting in a very inappropriate way. She's having relations with non-Jews in town, or an Eved, right, an Eved Kanani. So under those circumstances, if those rumors were true, so she now is qualified as a Zona. As such, she can't marry a Kohen. Okay, but again, these are just rumors. So Rava says at that point in time in Choshen Shenla, you don't have to pay any attention to those rumors. You could just simply dismiss those rumors. And my Tama preaches about Amadu Chazala. In other words, yes, what probably happened is that people saw her acting inappropriately. But that's it. And you can see Rashi over here. Rashi is very graphic in terms of the inappropriate behavior that she was involved in. But those rumors can be explained away. In other words, in order for her to be a Zona, she has to actually be intimately with these men. Nobody saw it. There was no edim for that. And her behavior is less than appropriate. That's for sure true. But that doesn't mean that she actually slept with these men. Okay. And so therefore, we understand now what is generating the rumors. And the rumors are not speaking to what we actually, what is alleged, that allegedly occurred. And therefore, they can be dismissed. Okay. Kitanai. The Gemara now tells us that this halacha that Rava just introduced is subject to a machlokes tanaim. Achla b'shok, girgala b'shok, heinika b'shok. So let's say a woman is acting extraordinarily inappropriately. Now, I said extraordinarily. I'd like to take that word back. Okay. But my point is still there. I spoke too strongly. In other words, she acted inappropriately. Let's go over some behaviors that are inappropriate behaviors. Achila b'shok. Right? You can't eat in the marketplace. In other words, eating has to be done in a modest fashion, okay, etiquette, okay. Etiquette is for everybody, etiquette for all of us. And so as part of etiquette, so you should be eating indoors, inside, okay, not out in the streets. Girgara, Bashuk. Second immodest behavior is that her neck is outstretched. It's a certain posture that's just simply not modest. Oh, hey, Nika Bashuk, or let's say she nurses her child out in the public. Nursing her child is biological. So let's call it a mitzvah. It's appropriate behavior, but not an appropriate place to do so. So the Bekulin Rebbe Meir Omer Teitze. So if, let's say, such a woman now is married to a Kohen, so Rebbe Meir says, okay, so that now is grounds for divorce. In other words, her inappropriate behavior is probably emblematic of the fact that she's also acting in other inappropriate fashions as well. In other words, Rebbe Meir will take this as a springboard to, hey, if she's immodest in these manners, she's probably immodest in other manners as well. That she does Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Kiva Omer. Me she yasiu v'yitnu ba mozarus b'levana. So, no. Those people that are mozarus b'levana, the women that are spinning. Thank you. So they're spinning by the moonlight. And in other words, the Rashi gives a description over here. They're basically women that are congregating late at night and they're spinning and they're schmoozing, and that's a nice way to say it. Well, but they're gossiping, and part of the gossip is did you hear about so and so and that she was Mezana and she was with this man and was not a Jew. In other words, then and only then do we have to give it any kind of consideration. Amalei Rav Yochanan Menuri im kein. Aloi nechta bas Avraham Avinu sheyoshevet tachas bala. So the Torah Amra ki matzah ba ervas davar ulahalan oomer al pishnayim edim o al pishlosha edim yakum davar malahalan davar barer afkan davar barer. And Rav Yochanan Menuri, the third opinion over here in this price is: do you know when we're going to say that a woman is mezana? Only when you have edus, only when you have concrete evidence that this woman committed adultery. Short of that, no. In other words, so basically in this price, so we have three levels. We have Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yochanan Menuri. According to Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir obviously takes the most machmir position. Right? According to Rabbi Meir, already if she shows any kind of immodest behavior, Rabbi Meir says, now basically the sirens go off. This is indication that she's doing other activities as well. According to Rabbi Akiva, no. If I hear the rumor mill going, then and only then do we have to be concerned. And according to Rav Yochanan Menuri, neither of those. According to Rav Yochanan Menuri, I need edus. So over here, clearly, whether or not we have rumors and allegations regarding pritzus, regarding her immodest behavior, and whether that could be used as a springboard to assume other behaviors as well, subject to a machlokas tanaim. Tana Rabbanan. Okay. So again, in this difficult discussion regarding which rumors have weight and consequences and which do not, so here we have now a braisa that's going to give us a listing, eight different types of rumors that can in fact be dismissed. Number one, ba'ulein choshesh in law. So let's say a woman is rumored, alleged to have had relations with a man, meaning she's no longer basula, but again, no actual evidence, no edim, just rumors. So ain choshesh in law, so those rumors can be dismissed and dispelled. Now, what is it going to affect? It's going to affect a number of things. But again, as we pointed out just moments earlier, really in today's daf we're focusing mostly on the isser, not on the mammon. But there's going to be monetary consequences, right? If in fact we did follow these rumors, right? We know the first mission ksuvos, a besula is going to get a higher ksuva than that of a ba'ula. So there are certainly going to be monetary consequences. But we're focusing today mostly on the isser. Right, and I am following. In other words, I say all this. I'm following Rashi, right? Ein choshesh in la. Rashi says la osra la kohen gadol. In other words, if in fact the rumors are true, so now she no longer is able to marry a kohen gadol. So in other words, what we're doing is we're going to dismiss those rumors. She's allowed to marry a kohen gadol. That's number one. Number two, nisua ein choshesh in la. So let's say the rumors are that the woman is in fact married. So ein choshesh in la, you do not have to worry about such rumors. You can dismiss them. Arusa in choshesh in law. So let's say the rumors are she accepted erusin. Don't worry about it. Shelo liploni. This is already number four. So let's say rumors are that she accepted kedushin, but we don't have a name to attach to that. We don't know who it came from. In choshesh in law. Don't worry about such a rumor. Number five. Be'ir acheres. Let's say the rumors are that she accepted kedushin in another town. So in choshesh in law, again, dismiss that rumor. Mamzeres. So let's say the rumors are that this woman's a mamzeres. We have no evidence. It's just a rumor. Ain choshesh in law. You can ignore that. And shivcha, ain choshesh in law. Let's say rumors are that this woman's a shivcha. Again, it's just a rumor. Dismiss it. Higdish ploni nechasav. Oh, hifker ploni nechasav ain choshesh in lahen. So let's say the rumors are is that this person was makdish all of his possessions, right? Makdish it or mafkir it, left it ownerless. So we don't have to worry about such rumors, right? Admittedly, by the way, number 8 of this listing over here has to do with monetary rumors, but the first 7 all have to do with Isser. Now, Amru la lo shishamu kol havara. Now, in the Mishnah, that if I hear a rumor that a woman is Mekudesha, so what did our Mishnah tell us? The Mishnah says that those rumors have weight, have authority, have consequences. And so what Ula's basically going to do is that he's going to balance the Mishnah and the Brisa we just learned together. Because in the Brisa we just learned together, we just learned that any kinds of rumors regarding this woman and her acceptance of Kedushin is just simply to be dismissed.
Even if it's a persistent rumor?
We talked about that earlier, meaning how long does rumor have to last for? Correct. Right. We're not covering that today. I'm not sure why, but you're right. But meanwhile, in the Brisa we said the rumors can be dismissed, and in the Mishnah, so the Mishnah tells us that that these rumors are to be given weight. So Amar Ula. So as far as our Mishnah is concerned, Lo Shishamu Kol Havara Ela Kadesh Yehu. So in other words, in our Mishnah where the Kedushin, the rumors of Kedushin are in fact acknowledged, not just acknowledged, but accepted. And so what are these rumors? Not just Stam. Oh, she received Kedushin. In other words, there's more specificity to the rumors. The rumors include there was a lechayim. There was an engagement party. I know all this is funny, but enachinami. In other words, so what happened was is that Neros Dolkos, Rashi over here gives a description that when you have a simcha, so what you do is you light candles in the house of the simcha, and the beds are made up, right? Back in the good old days, by the way. In other words, there were no bedrooms. The modern convention of a bedroom. In other words, the house is made to look nice. And uvenei adam nechnasim yotzim, and everyone's coming in and out of the house. And this woman accepts kedushin. So in other words, there are specifics that are given within the rumor. So over here, again, I know this is difficult, but what we're saying over here, what Ula is saying over here, is that if the rumor is just this amorphous rumor of she received kedushin, okay, good, that you could just flick aside. That has no validity to it whatsoever. But if the rumor is now, not only do we have a rumor, but details that are given within the rumor, so then that's what our Mishnah is describing. That is what we have to acknowledge. So Miskadesh is Velomit Loi Kacha. So Ema Plonis Niskacha Ayom. So now Miskadesh, the Gemara over here is just nitpicking over here on what was said at the Lachaim. Right? In other words, if you just go over the last words that we read, Va'omerim Plonis Miskadeshas Hayom. She's going to receive Kedushin. Oh, that's great. In other words, what we're looking to see is whether or not she already received Kedushin. So the language of the Brice is a little bit strange. Miskadeshas. So the Gemara says, Ema Plonis Niskachayim. So the Gemara says, fine. So we'll just tweak that last point over here. Not that she will receive Kedushin, but the rumors included she received Kedushin already past tense. Good. So the Gemara just did an entire review of what we just said. I read it. I'm not going to bother translating it because it is word for word what we just said. In other words, the only time the rumors need to be acknowledged is when details are given. And Rav Yochanan says the same thing as well. In other words, I need details, I need specifics in order for this rumor to be an acknowledged rumor. Now, in Rav Yochanan's statement, so here I am going to go back just a couple of words in the Gemara. Amru Davar, Zeu Kol. Lo Amru Davar, So Zehu Amasla. So the Gemara now wants clarification on this point of Rav Yochanan. What does that mean? Lo Amru. So Vahalo Amru Velo Klum. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. If nothing was said, so don't worry. Right, and the Gemara is enjoying that. If nothing was said, don't worry. Well, if nothing was said, so I got nothing to worry about. So lafuki medarava baravuna da amar amaslo shamru afila mikan v'asar yamem kamashmalan lo amaru huda lo amru huda havi amasla ha amru lo havi amasla. Ah, so the Gemara says is that in order for namasla to be namasla. Now remember, amasla we were introduced to in the Mishnah. It's an explanation, meaning the rumors are of kedushin occurring, and again. Now we can add to the Mishnah because now we're gone through most of today's daf, half of today's daf. So what we can add to our Mishnah now is the following, and that is that it's not just a rumor. In other words, with details, right? The woman accepted kedushin. There was a vort. There was a lachaim, right? People were coming in and out of the house. In other words, this is all part of the rumors. Ah, but now there's an explanation. In other words, and now we go over to her and say, you know, you received kedushin. I was going to say engaged, but that's obviously, kedushin is much more than engagement. Kedushin is the first stage of marriage. So in other words, we're talking about kedushin and everyone's talking about it. And she says, oh, yeah, that's true, but now let me give you more details. It was done al tanai. The kedushin was thrown to me, safek karav lo, safek karav la. In other words, she has an explanation. And with this explanation, now we understand the genesis of the rumors and we also understand that the kedushin never took effect. But what we're pointing out right now is that the only way the amasla works is only if the masla is produced with the original rumor, as opposed to the opinion of Rava Bar Rav Huna. Rava Bar Rav Huna says that even if the amasla materializes later, right? Mikan v'adasar yamim, he gives a 10-day window, right? The 10 days, by the way, seems to be arbitrary. I'm sure there's a reason why it's 10 days, but he gives a 10-day window in which you can have the rumors and then you can have the explanation as long as they're within 10 days of one another. So he says that's fine. And what the Gemara is pointing out is that's what Rav Yochanan is telling us. Rav Yochanan does not accept that. Rav Yochanan accepts that the explanation is only good when the explanation is being rolled out together with the rumors. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Hun, Amar Rav Lo Shashamu Kol, Havara Elekideh Shiamru, Ploni Mehechen Shama, Mi Ploni, U Ploni, Mi Ploni, U Votkin Vochin, Asha Megiyin Ladavar Habarer. Now, the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav is that if we're just hearing kol havara is a great expression that just basically is, it's noise, right? If we're hearing noise, right, chatter, so that's something that you can dismiss. When is rumor going to be valid? When we can take it back to its original source. So So the Gemara says, well, let me get this straight. Meaning if we're taking it back to its original source, so what is the original source? The original source is the people that were there for the Kedushin. We have another word to describe those people that's called Edom. In other words, so if we're going back to the Edom, so then what are you doing? You're dismissing the whole rumor sugya? So the Gemara says, Elikiyasa Rashmo Bar Yehuda Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav Lo Shashamu Kol Avar Lekedeshi Amar Ploni Meichen Shamei Mi Ploni U Ploni I'm sorry, Mi Ploni U Floni Mi Ploni. Okay, so in other words, we're not discussing the whole rumor sugya. Now, again, it's funny. In other words, why can't we just dismiss the whole rumor sugya? Because we don't. In other words, again, it goes back to the premise of the entire daf today. In other words, when the rumor does have significance and halachic significance, so then it's to be acknowledged. So, but what Rav is teaching us now in our modified understanding of Rav is that what we have to do is that we do have to go back to the source. In other words, even though we can't interview the source themselves, they're right now currently out of town, but we know, however, that it's coming from a good source. We traced it back to where it started, and where it started from are good people. Where are they right now? Meaning, why don't we just ask them? They're out of town. Okay. Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef. Mevatlina kala lo mevatlina. Okay. Now, as difficult as it was so far to get through today's daf, meaning it's not a difficult daf per se, it's just hard to wrap our heads around this idea that that rumors have weight. But they do. Okay? And that's basically what we've discussed throughout today. And now, this is, if you will, chapter 2. And that is, can Beis Din ever intercede? In other words, the rumors are circulating, and can Beis Din ever intercede? Now, Rashi over here offers two explanations of when exactly Beis Din would intercede. As we already pointed out throughout the entire daf today, In other words, if the rumors carry weight, so then the rumors have to be acknowledged. So what Beis Din could do is they could just simply squash the rumor. So Rashi says that the Gemara's discussion over here is talking about the following. Now, truth of that matter is that Rashi offers two explanations over here, and I'm going to just simply go with Rashi's second explanation. Tosos favors that second explanation of Rashi, and I just want to keep the Gemara as simple as possible. So Inami, I'm just looking at the second explanation of Rashi. So now the rumors are circulating, and we traced it back to its source. And right now the source is a couple of people who right now are currently out of town. But meanwhile, everybody's talking. Okay. And then, the way Rashi presents it, the originals come back to town. And now we interview them. Hey, tracing back to you, the rumors are is that this woman accepted Kedushin. You guys want to validate that? And their response is, it's funny. I mean, we never saw it. We never said anything. So as much as now the rumors are, we think we have the source of the rumors. We actually found the source of the rumors. They simply deny that, you know, they're the source of the rumors. And so now can Beis Din go in and can Beis Din basically say, okay, we're now officially, legally putting an end to all of it. That's the way Rashi understands our Gemara's discussion. Which I have to admit, by the way, is, again, I know I've been saying this a lot this morning, is a little bit difficult to understand, meaning we went back to the source, we think now we can, you know, and they're telling us they don't know what you're talking about. Lo hayu dvar me'olam, it never happened. So then why do we have to give the rumors any legitimacy anymore? Like, why is this even a discussion? Okay.
But anyway, like, you're giving the Beis Din a function of verifying rumors.
Right, correct. So so it turns out, as we're going to see together, it's machlokas. So, I lost my spot. Okay. So, Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef, let me start again. Mevatlina kalalo mevatlina. Good. So Amalei, so this is Rav Yosef's answer. Medamer of Chista, Ashi Yishmu Mipi Aksherim, Shmamina, Mevatlina kalam. So Rav Yosef's response is that, look, Rav Chista told us that that when, in fact, do you have to when do you have to give rumors any kind of weight? When you hear mipiach sherim, when you hear from kosher people. So shmamina mevalin kalah. So you see that you could be mevatakol. So amalei adarabah midamar of sheshes afilo mipinashim. So avi kol shmamina lo mevalin kalah. No, the source of the rumors don't have to be coming from edim ksherim. The source of the rumor can come from anywhere. So amalei. Atarvasa ninhu. So he says whether or not Beis Din has the right and the ability to dismiss rumors is going to be a function of where you live. Bisura mevat lekala, benardala mevat lekala. Depends whether you live in Surah or whether you live in Narda. In the town of Surah, that happens to be the town of Rav. So over there, your mevat lekala Beis Din has the right to just simply dismiss and dispense with the rumor. In Naharda, in the town of Shmuel, lo mevat lekala. No, you do not have the right. And the Gemara now is going to be telling us numerous anecdotes, numerous stories regarding rumors and what they did with the rumors. Hahi. So the Gemara now starts off with a story regarding a woman. She happened to have been a penuya. She was single. Denafak ala kala. Denafak ala kala de ikdash ala bar bei rav. Okay, she accepted kedushin from a guy in yeshiva. Asya Rav Chama. Asya Rav Chama lavua. So Rav Chama now brings the father and Amar Lei, and they asked him, Emily Hei Chave Uvda. Could you give us some more details? Amar Lei. So now this is the father of the woman. So Altanai Kadosh Adaita Delo Azula Bechuzai. So in other words, right, Kedushin was given, but it was done Altanai. And the Tanai was that he does not go to Bechuzai. So it was a particular place. And okay, in other words, I could give you a little bit of drama narration in terms of why she doesn't want him to go to Beit Chuzai. I don't know why, and I'm not going to guess right now. But anyway, the kedushin was done. I'll tell you that he doesn't go there. Okay, the local bar, if you will. That's not the ripe shot, but I'm saying. But okay, just giving a little bit of narration. So anyway, Va'azlan, and he went. So in other words, the tonight is that the Kedushin's chabad only if he doesn't go to a particular place, and he went to a particular place. So what are we looking at over here? In other words, we now have an explanation. It's an amasla. So Kevin de Beina Davi Kalalohabi Amasla Lavko Kiminach the Mechazkes Amasla. So the Gemara says, look, I know we learned in the Mishnah that an amasla is an explanation, and therefore we're able to dismiss a rumor, but as we just learned according to Rav Yochanan, when does the amasla have to come out? Not post rumor. It has to come out with the rumor. Rumor and amasla has to come out simultaneously. And if there's any gap between the rumor and the explanation, so then we don't accept the explanation. Now I know just moments earlier, minutes earlier in today's daf, there was an opinion that said that there can be a 10-day window between the rumor and the explanation, but as Tosfos points out over here, seemingly that's not the position that they're accepting. The position they're accepting is that the only time the explanation takes away the rumor is only when they come out simultaneously. Hahi, the Gemara tells us a second story. Okay, so a real specific detail over here, two details. How she received Kedushin? So she was given date pits as her Kesef Kedushin. You talk about romance. It's alive and well. So, and Rashi over here, a lot of specifics in terms of the types of dates they are. They were not fully ripened. There's still a little bit of flesh on the pits. Anyway, whatever. You could see Rashi over here. So, Be'ina de Be'shipi. And where was it? It was right by Ma'ayan. It was right by a wellspring. So, Shachar, Ravi de Baravin, Lakam, and Dabaiki, I gavna Ma'amar, Le'afi, Lamanda, Amalam, Aventlina, Kala, Beham, Avatlina, Kala, Demeyma, Amre, Aina, Be, Rabbanim, Bekidusha, Avalo, Avabuhu, Shavapruta. So, over here, we can dismiss this rumor. Why? Because over here, what did she receive as her Kesef Kedushin? The pit of dates. Date pits. And what we could suggest over here is that the Chachamim investigated the matter. And in other words, in order for the Kedushin to be Chal, it has to be Shavapruta. And over here, these date pits are not a Shavapruta. They're not the minimum amount necessary in order for a Kedushin to take effect. By the way, two days from now, at the beginning of Kedushin, that's going to be our first topic. In other words, a woman is Mekudesh, it's Bekesef, and the Kesef has to be a Shavapruta. Okay. So over here now, there is an explanation that can be given in terms of why, on one hand, she accepted Kedushin, but on the other hand, she's not Mekudesh. Why? Because we have a built-in Amasla. We know that it's not a Shavapruta. One more story. Our third consecutive story now, as we turn to the Amud Beis, Lechad Bimnei Palnayam. So now, she's engaged to one of the sons of so-and-so, okay? But we don't know which one. In other words, no name was offered, but we know it was the son of so-and-so. Amar Ava Filaman Damalom Avilan Kala Bahama Avilan Kala Meima Amre Aynabe Rabbanu B'Kiddushe and Kiddushe Katan Havu. Okay, so over here, what we could do is we can be Mevato. Even if you happen to live in a community that is not Mevato, remember, whether or not Beis Din can go in and intercede, so it depends on which community you live in, Sur and Arda. But over here, the Gemara says we can dismiss the call. We can dismiss the rumor. Why? Because over here, we didn't identify which son it is, and it could be that it's one of his minor sons. So in other words, again, if there's a built-in explanation in terms of what happened, meaning we can accept the fact that there was a Kedushin, but at the same time, we can explain how the Kedushin just simply didn't take effect, i.e., there's a Katan, one of the sons is a minor, good. Fourth consecutive story now regarding rumors. And Lekatan Anir Kegadol. So it happens to be that he is physically maturating, but in other words, but he's not yet a Gadol. He looks big. So Amalei Rav Mordechai L'Rav Ashi Ava Uvdeva Amru Adayin Lo Igia Plagos Ruuvein. Right, the Shenemar Lif Flagos Ruven Gedolim Hakriv Chikrei Leiv. Right, the pasuk in Shoftim, the pasuk regarding Shiras Devora. Anyway, so he's only big physically, but mentally he's not there yet. Meaning he's still a katan, and as a result of that, the kedushin didn't take effect. Again, just we're simply pointing out is that if there is a built-in explanation. Meaning, I can, on one hand, accept the rumor. Meaning, yeah, she accepted Kedushin. On the other hand, wait a second. Who'd it come from? Oh, him? Oh, he's a minor. So as long as there's a built-in explanation to the rumor, so then we can go ahead and we can dispense with it.
There's no built-in explanation. What's the halacha?
So then the halacha is that it go back to what we learned earlier today. Meaning that the rumors need to have specifics. In other words, they need to have details. And even then, in other words, the it depends. Then it's going to be a function of whether you're living in a town where Beis Din can go ahead and investigate the rumor. Meaning, it's a, the whole thing's a difficult sugya.
But according to Rabbi, there's no such thing as a rumor because you always have to verify the source.
Right, but in other words, but even if you even before verifying the source, meaning if we can explain away what happened, meaning if there's a plausible explanation, the story the mitzvah that the Gemara just told us is that you can go ahead and you can plug in the built-in explanation if in fact there's a built-in explanation.
The Rebbe is saying if there's no built-in explanation, you believe the rumor.
Yeah, and right. I mean that's
what Rav didn't say that. That's not what Rav said. Rav said we have to go back to find the source.
Otherwise, right. In other words, right. You're right, correct. And Achinami, yes.
So Rob argues with the previous Gemara?
I'm not sure. Let me think about it some more, I'm not sure. Okay, Uvavashalote Shama Masla. So Amar Rava Baravuna, Masla Shama Rafila Mikan Vadasar Yamin. Okay, so the position of Rava Baravuna, which we already saw earlier, is that there can be a gap, there can be a delay between rumor and explanation. So, Rezvid Amar b'makam amasla choshen l'amasla. So the as long as makam amasla, as long as there is a proposed explanation, meaning even if we don't have the explanation, but as long as there is a plausible explanation that can be given, so then choshen l'amasla. I know that's a strange language, by the way. We're concerned about the amasla. It's not a concern about the amasla. The Amasla is now going to be able to explain away the rumor. So Ezra, Papa Rav Zvid. So now, Uvavashalotei Shem Amasla. So Amrle B'makom Amasla Kamar. So the first challenge against this idea of Rav Zvid, because Rav Zvid is really introducing to us to a new world of kula, a leniency, in that even though we don't have an explanation, but as long as there is a plausible explanation that you could give. A theoretical explanation. So then we're gonna plug it in. So the Gemara says, okay, but meanwhile, that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, "Uvavashlotei shama masla." So Amrle. So the Rezvid's response would be, "B'makom amasla kamar." Again, his answer would be, "Okay, good." But when we read the Mishnah, what we're gonna insert into the Mishnah is that don't read the Mishnah that literally. The Mishnah does not mean you need an actual amasla as long as it's makom amasla. As long as there's room for an explanation, so then we'll fill it in. I'm the Rav Kana L'Rav Patra V'Atlo Tizbara V'Hatanan. Now the Gemara over here is going to be using Gemara in Yevamos to show us that that theoretical plausible explanations can be used to explain rumors. Okay, this admittedly is going to be a little bit challenging, but we're going to go through it right now, and that is the following. All the Gemaras at the end of Yevamos describe a woman whose husband went away and did not come back. And it's, and Rachmanus, right? First and foremost. So Rachmanus. So now, can she go ahead and get remarried? So all the Gemaras over there basically are describing the Eidus Isha. In other words, the testimony that would be allowed and acceptable in order for her to get remarried. A number of leniencies, notably, you don't need two Eidim, you don't need two Kusher Eidim to go ahead and to report that her husband's dead, even on the testimony of one person. That person doesn't have to be a kosher aid, can be a woman, it can be an eved, and based on that, so she'll be able to get remarried. However, if in fact she does not investigate thoroughly and her husband comes back, her original husband comes back, so tetim izu mizu, so now what she's going to have to do is she's going to have to get a divorce from both her original husband and her current husband, and all the consequences. In fact, just recently here in Gittin, we went through all the consequences. But meanwhile, with that as a backdrop, so we're learning together the following. This is the Mishnah in Yevamos. This is on Daf Tzadi Beis in Yevamos. Niz kadsha ve'achar kach babala. So what happens as follows: her husband went away, did not come back. There was some reporting, some rumors. Not rumor. Yeah, let's call it rumors. There was some rumors, some reporting that her husband died, but she went ahead and she accepted kedushin from another man, and then, but only kedushin. Meaning she didn't go through the second stage of marriage with the second man. And then achukach ba'bala. And then her husband comes back. Okay, yeah. So obviously, unbelievably uncomfortable, but we're right now going to deal with the halacha. And the halacha is muteres lachzor. Okay. Yeah. So right, she can go back to her original husband. So now, why should that be? What we'll have to suggest is the following: is that when she accepted kiddushin from her second husband, it was done al tanai. Now, we're not saying that that's what actually happened, but it's possible. And as long as there exists that possibility, we're going to insert that as part of the explanation. So in other words, the kiddushin was done al tanai. So that would seem to show us, and I know this is a strange proof, but that would seem to show us that even though we don't have an actual amasla, but as long as there's a plausible amasla, we're going to go ahead and we're going to plug it in, and we'll say the same thing over here. Meaning all this is in service of Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid says that the masla doesn't have to actually be there, as long as there's a makam amasla, as long as there's a possible amasla that we can put in, so we're going to insert it. So the Gemara says, I'm not sure if that is a good case study. The Gemara pushes back. Shani hasam dasi bal v'kama arer. So her ability to go back to her original husband is not because of a proposed amasla that we're giving. It's because her husband physically has showed up again. So yachi nises nami. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so why don't we say the same thing if she goes through both stages of marriage with this second man? Not only if she accepts kedushin, but nisuin as well. And meanwhile, that's of course not the halacha. The halacha is that if she has kedushin nisuin with that second man, so then her husband returning and protesting that marriage obviously has no weight and no validity to it. So the Gemara says, Nises avde yisura kansura abana. Niskasha lo avde yisura lo kansura abana. So the Gemara gives an answer, which I admit is going to be a little bit difficult to understand. I'm speaking personally right now. But the Gemara says, look, if all we're talking about is kedushin, so lo avda isura, she didn't violate nisur. Okay, now, she didn't violate nisur, meaning I certainly understand what the Gemara is saying on the most technical level. Meaning she was not yet intimate with her new husband. And again, it's her new husband, but considering the fact that her original husband's alive and well, so it's not her new husband, it's just simply another man. She wasn't intimate with this other man, so she hasn't committed an isur per se. Now, granted, by the way, she accepted kedushin, and granted, by the way, she obviously should have done more research. She was wrong regarding the research that she's done. But in other words, what the Gemara is saying is that she has not formalized the isser by actually physically being with this other man. Masha Einkein, if we're talking about kedushin and nisuin, where now she's physically intimate with this other man, now she's committed an isser, and now her original husband returns, so now takes a mizu mizu, and that's why you can't just simply dismiss now her act with this man. But in other words, but what the Gemara is simply proposing now is that we can't, this is not going to be a good defense for Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid says that amasla and even makam amasla. That's the chiddush of Rav Zvid. And what the Gemara now is telling us is that it's a chiddush. And number one, you're going to have to read that into our Mishnah, because that's not what our Mishnah said. And number two, this Mishnah in Yevamos, which we thought may be used as a way of supporting Rav Zvid, is not at all a support for Rav Zvid. Okay. We're going to pause over here tomorrow. We're going to pick it up at the Amar Rav Ashi. Okay. More regarding rumors, but we'll do so tomorrow. Meantime, however, and also, mind you, by the way, tomorrow. Okay. Yeah. Tomorrow also we're finishing the Masechta. Right. The Amud Beis tomorrow is incredibly short. Oddly enough, by the way, tomorrow, also what we're going to be doing is grants for divorce. Right. One of the stranger parts, I already made this point earlier in the Masechta, one of the stranger parts of the Masechta is that really some of the, what you and I would consider the core topics of Gerushin is discussed only at the end and only really, really sparsely and really briefly. And meanwhile, you would think it's like obviously it's a critical component, but why it does not get more real estate in our Masechta, I don't know. Anyway, but...
Shlichus
and okay. Anyway, all right. Let's quickly recap. Let's review. Our daf today started with the Mishnah on the bottom. A pechesem and beis. The Mishnah starts off with a rumor that a woman's mekudeshes. A woman is rumored to be megureshes. So what do we do with those rumors? So the Mishnah says they have consequences unless they have explanations. In the absence of an explanation, they're going to have consequences. The woman's a Mekudeshes, the woman's a Megureshes. So the first thing that we cleared up immediately is that if the rumors start after she's a married woman, we dismiss those rumors altogether. That's fundamental to the world of rumors, that rumors are just simply not regarded post-marriage. And so therefore, the second case of the Mishnah where the rumors are she's divorced, it's not talking about where she's a married woman. And people are now saying that she received gerushin, because for a married woman, we don't acknowledge any rumors about her if those rumors generated after she got married. But rather, the Mishnah is talking about two cases that are really built one on top of the other. Rumor number one, Mekudeshes. Rumor number two, Mekudeshes Umigureshes. Okay, so that's the first thing that we covered in today's daf. So on Peitzes Amud Aleph, a series of rumors that you could just simply dismiss. In other words, rumors that really don't have any teeth to it, they're amorphous, they don't have any specifics, and therefore they can be dismissed. And we went through our braisa, they gave us a listing of 8 rumors that you could just simply dispense with. So then what about our Mishnah? So Ula explains that our Mishnah is describing rumors that have specifics to it. In other words, the rumors not just say that she accepted Kiddushin, but there was a Lachaim, there was a Vort, people came over, wished her a Mazel Tov for the Kiddushin that she accepted. Okay. And that was Ula's explanation, Rav Yochanan as well. Okay. The Amasla, the explanation that can be used to explain away a rumor. So, according to Rav Yochanan, that explanation has to be present at the time that the rumor started generating. In other words, but if the explanation comes at a later point in time, those explanations are not valid. Now, not everyone's in agreement with the statement of Rav Yochanan. So, Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rabba Bar Rav Huna says that even if there's a 10-day gap between rumor and explanation, I could still use the explanation to explain away the rumor. But Rav Yochanan disagrees. Next on the rumor discussion today. And that is that if we trace the source of the rumor back to its original source, and we're all the way back to the original source, and lo hayu dvar me'olam. I'm going to go with Rashi's second explanation. Lo hayu dvar me'olam, meaning in now interviewing what we think is the origins of the rumors. They're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Can now Basin come in and can Basin say, that's it, we're putting an end to these rumors. So do they have that authority? So it depends where you live. It depends whether you live in Surah or Harda. So in Surah, they have that authority, and in Narda, they do not have that authority. Obviously, all right, I am limited in my understanding of that machlokas, and certainly I can't explain it any better, because it's simply because I don't understand it any better. And then on Peitzes Amud Aleph, all the way going into Peitzes Amud Beis, 4 anecdotes, 4 stories about rumors and what the Chachamim did with the rumors. And then the last thing that we treat in today's daf is the Chiddush of Rav Zvid, where Rav Zvid said that even if we don't have an actual amasla, but we have a plausible amasla that we can insert, so Rav Zvid said, you can insert a plausible amasla, even though it wasn't voiced, it wasn't articulated. Is this position of Rav Zvid supportable? Maybe.